Ladies and gentlemen, it's Friday, July 18th, 2025. This is the InfoWars War Room. The fastest 3 hours on the internet starts now. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. Now, I've got a stack of some geopolitical developments over here, mostly pertaining to some things that happened in Congress and funding of Israel and Israel's continued five-front war. And even Mike Huckabee now kind of, I guess, that he's lived there for an extended period of time, he's like, yeah, actually, Israel's not very friendly to Christians. Christians probably shouldn't come here. It's not good. Plus, they won't stop bombing all these countries, so maybe not a good time. He's warning about that. And then Israel is attempting to do a similar political influence takeover in Ireland that they've done here, and then there's a push back and forth. And then every single AIPAC-controlled member of Congress is putting out a statement today saying, oh, the Irish need to accept this. They need to accept Israel's influence. It's like, oh, yeah, we can't see what's going on here. So we'll get to that. And of course, it's no secret that the whole Israeli influence ties directly into Jeffrey Epstein. But they don't want you to talk about that. And they're now publishing headlines saying that's blood libel. To even suggest Jeffrey Epstein has a connection to Mossad is blood libel, even though the connections to Mossad are very public and it's very obvious. And so, look, I have to do this today. We're going to do it, but I'm going to use the whole segment after this, probably about the whole 25 minutes, to really just lay out in the most encapsulated way possible what the Jeffrey Epstein saga is really about. From the political developments in this Trump administration that we've seen that have really made this such a big issue, intentionally, unintentionally, that's just the truth, but also Epstein in the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, the charges to the fake suicide. I'm going to lay it all out. I'm going to tell you what it's really all about, and I'm going to give you all the facts and all the evidence. Because here's what I realized really in the last about 24 to 48 hours, and this is just getting crazy as far as the pushback on the right just trying to cover Epstein, because these people have this weird thing in their head and they just can't get over it. It's like a Trump, it's like Trump derangement syndrome, but on the opposite side. So it's like you have the Trump derangement syndrome where it's just like everything is bad about Trump and they hate Trump. And then there's the Trump derangement syndrome. It's like everything is about Trump and everything about Trump is good. So Trump derangement syndrome now goes both ways. And so they can't even fathom in their head you doing some type of coverage that's either neutral or fair or not pro-Trump. And they just go wacky. And so what I realized having this discussion, because I've just been there before, it's like trying to debate a leftist on politics. Like I used to go out on the streets, 2015, 2016, the videos went viral, became a genre on the internet to go out and own the left. Now a bunch of other young content creators do it. It's fantastic. I feel like I can kind of retire. I can go back in the field if I want, but now they do it. It's awesome. But if you recall, because at the time I didn't look at it as a left-right issue. I thought these people would want the information. I genuinely thought I could go talk to people and give them information and maybe we could reach some similar conclusions or at least, you know, have a conversation about the facts available. And I realized they don't know any facts. They don't know anything about the topics they're discussing. They don't know anything about Trump's history, any political history. And it was just like, oh, okay, they don't know anything. Well, now I've realized the people that are standing up for, I don't even know what you want to call it, Epstein, or they tell you to move on, whatever it is, they don't know anything about it. They literally don't know anything about Epstein, his history, how he made his billions, how he gained his influence, the charges. So I'm going to give you all of that as succinctly as possible in this segment. So if there's anybody you know that doesn't understand this, tell them to tune in.
How do I explain to people that my tongue is blue? Because I love this stuff, methylene blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What is the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. Oh, you still like Brain Force? Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force and Brain Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple of days. So I'm going to take my dose of Methylene Blue and my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process in the cell. It's like iodine to the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
Story to drop would be about Trump's health. It dropped Thursday morning. Yesterday, I told you the next big Trump Epstein story would drop, dropped as soon as I was off air. Now, I know what the next big story is, and I'll just go ahead and get ahead of it now, but it's really irrelevant because I've turned the corner on this whole thing before I lay out the real Epstein story, and it's funny because the crew was just saying it to me too. The whole Trump angle is a distraction. It's a distraction. And they're going to come out and try to tie Melania to this stuff and just continue for you to go look over here at the shiny object. This isn't about Trump. This is about Jeffrey Epstein and what he was doing and who he was working for and who he was working with. But just so everybody knows, Melania Trump came to America in 1996 with a Milanese modeling firm. She met Donald Trump in 1998. It had nothing to do with Maxwell or Epstein. And then at future parties, when they're hanging out, that's a different story. But when Trump figured out what Epstein was doing, recruiting the young girls in Florida, using Mar-a-Lago to do it, he shut it down, agreed with the investigations that ultimately wound up with the sweetheart deal of Jeffrey Epstein. But okay, just put that aside because I've turned the corner. Trump is a distraction, folks. Trump is just a distraction. This Wall Street Journal story is just a distraction. It's not about Trump. This is about Jeffrey Epstein. Who he was working for, who he was working with, and what he was doing, and what people knew. That's what this is about. This is not about Donald Trump. And what's ironic is that Trump has now made it about Trump. Again, whether this is intentional or not, I don't know. Maybe it'll make more sense later. None of it makes any sense. From Pam Bondi with phase one in the binder to the documents are on my desk to the, oh, now the whole thing's a hoax. And then she says she promises she's gonna actually unseal the grand jury testimony from Florida. And then she hasn't done it. It's now 4:08 Eastern time. She hasn't done it. So why is that? Are they in there clearing it up? It's not going to matter anyway. It's going to be all about Epstein and the dozens of, you know, minor girls that he was recruiting and sexually abusing. We already know that. So all of this is turning out to be a distraction. But when we upload this segment, guys, we're going to start it here. Let's lay out as succinctly as possible what the Epstein saga is really about and how we got here. Let's first start with how we got here. Pam Bondi, Dan Bongino, and Kash Patel, all members of Trump's administration, have been talking about the Epstein files for years. 4 years they've been talking about them and how significant they are because they know exactly what we know, what Epstein was up to, which I'll get into. Donald Trump, in his first administration, before he got elected in his first administration, on the campaign in 2024, also talked about the Epstein files, also suggested he was going to declassify all of it. So this is not an us thing. This is not a Democrat thing. This is literally Bondi, Bongino, Patel, and Trump. We were all in this together as far as the Epstein files are concerned. So a couple months go by. We're looking at the administration. We're saying, hey, where are the Epstein files? Somebody brings it up in a cabinet meeting and Trump goes off and says, stop talking about it. So that's really where it begins. And then he doubles down and triples down and quadruples down and quintuples down. Stop talking about it. Stop talking about it. Stop talking about it. And then, of course, everybody starts talking about it. And now the left is going to start using that as a distraction piece to attack Trump. But this whole thing is not about Trump. This is about Jeffrey Epstein. So let's explain. Jeffrey Epstein comes out of nowhere and gets hired by Donald Barr, Bill Barr's father, Donald Barr, to work at Harvard. Now, did he have any teaching experience? No. Did he have a degree? No. So, why did he get hired? I guess that's a bit of a mystery. But this is how Epstein gets introduced into the world of the elite, as we can see from the rest of his history. Now, it's well known that these Ivy League schools will all the time bring in cutouts and train them to go into the field as intelligence assets. So Bill Barr's father brings in Epstein when he's in his 20s, out of nowhere, introduces him to the world of the elite. Eventually, from that job, working at a university, he somehow becomes a major financier, a big financial advisor, money mover. He starts his first company, I believe it was called AG Worldwide, and he starts bringing in big name clients with big money. And this is when he leaves his pseudo career as a teacher's aide or whatever it was he was there, and now becomes a money manager. And basically, the sales pitch is, unofficially, wink, wink, nod, nod, if you have a bunch of money and you want to hide it, if you have a bunch of money and you need to move it around, if you have a bunch of money and you don't want it to get taxed, whatever it is, I'm here for you. That's what I do. And apparently, he was really good at it. In fact, he was so good at it that he ends up launching J. Epstein. And his official moniker on the website was, he only takes billionaire clients. When he launched J. Epstein and said he only takes billionaire clients, there were only 140 billionaires in the entire world. Now, the most significant of his clients has to be Les Wexner. Wexner, the inventor of Victoria's Secret, a company that sells lingerie to teenagers. Wexner turns over his entire portfolio of billions of dollars to Epstein. So when they talk about Epstein lists or Epstein clients, there's a good place to start. Whose money was Epstein managing and why and where did it go? And what did they get out of it? And what were they trying to do? Now, a couple other points on this before we get into the prosecutions, the criminal charges. At one point, Epstein himself and his companies were under investigation and would have been facing criminal charges. If anyone else, if you did this or if I did this, we would have been in jail, but not Epstein. Somehow, when he's facing these investigations and looking at charges, they just decide to toss the case just out the door. No problem. It's gone. So this is your first sign that whatever he's doing, it's not just well-connected to the rich. It's well-connected to likely governments and intelligence agencies. And if that's not enough, Epstein and leaked emails, it comes out, arranges, at least it appears to suggest, arranges a meeting between the president of J.P. Morgan, the biggest bank in the world, and Benjamin Netanyahu. And essentially, the president of J.P. Morgan is like thanking Epstein for setting this up. And he's like, yeah. He couldn't believe it. He pulled it off. You also have former Israeli prime minister going in and out of Epstein's New York mansion. And Epstein at one point paying Ehud Barak $2.3 million. Now, these are all the old financial stuff. A lot of this was really what happened was it got covered into the early 2000s. There were two people that were covering it. I forget their names right now. It was a lady, and then it was a guy that was covering it. And it might have been Vanity Fair. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Vanity Fair. They were about to put out the big story about Epstein. And the editor-in-chief, right before they're going to put it out, finds a dead cat with a bullet next to its head on his doorstep. And they re-editorialize the story. Now, this is all in 2002. This is all in 2002 before the sex crimes charges. And he's just a financier and he's just well-connected to all these billionaires and everything else. And yeah, he's going around with Trump and dancing and stuff. But you know what? You could argue at that time you didn't know he was a pedophile. You could have plausible deniability, at least as far as we know, you could have plausible deniability that he was not, that you did not know he was a pedophile at that time. It was just financial stuff. And whatever investigations he was facing, they spiked that. So you might think, okay, it's still all above board. So now we go to the first charges. A couple young girls, as young as 14, report to local police that Epstein is recruiting young women to his Florida mansion. Dozens of girls. The local police take this so seriously, and they think it's such a big deal that they don't just move on this. Instead, they do an 18-month investigation following up and seeing how many young girls Epstein is abusing. Now, what we know is other young girls would recruit other new young girls to go to Epstein's mansion and, quote-unquote, massage him. So after an 18-month-long investigation, the police finally move on Epstein. Now he faces the charges. This is where it gets even crazier. And I notice a lot of people kind of miss the boat on this, and that's okay because they haven't had to deal with federal charges. I have. So what happens next is maybe this is where things start to get completely insane. So when Epstein is facing these charges, federal charges, what happens? He flees the country to Israel. Now, as far as we know, Epstein had no connections to Israel. He was not an Israeli citizen, but he found safe harbor in Israel. Now, why would that be? But it's not just the fact that he was able to get safe harbor in Israel while he was facing these charges. Ladies and gentlemen, when you're facing federal charges, I was facing a misdemeanor. A misdemeanor, and they took my passport, and I could not leave my county. I literally could not leave the FBI district that I'm in, and they took my passport. Now, you get charged with sex crimes against children, usually they probably won't even let you out of jail. Usually you're waiting trial in prison, but they let Epstein out. And they let him travel to Israel. Unheard of. Unheard of. Now, just to kind of put a little sprinkle on this ice cream cone, you can look up CBS News and others that have been reporting this for years. American Jewish pedophiles find safe harbor in Israel. Now, I've got some follow-up on that we'll have later on in the show. But go ahead. You can look that up. American Jewish pedophiles find safe harbor in Israel. Is that what Epstein was doing? Or was he going back to Israel because he was an asset of Israel? So then the negotiations are taking place. This includes Alex Acosta, who was in Trump's first administration, and a law firm that is also attached to Bill Barr and Brett Kavanaugh, strangely enough. And they cut a sweetheart deal. And part of this sweetheart deal is that the co-conspirators, as it says in the document, the non-prosecution document, so that they can bury the whole thing, the co-conspirators will be exonerated. And Epstein will get his little slap on the wrist sentence. So all co-conspirators are exonerated. And Epstein gets a sweetheart deal for 2 years in prison. But it gets even crazier. Epstein was allowed a work release program 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. We're talking about a child sex predator. And even though they may have tossed the charges or the investigations, whatever he was facing with the financial stuff from years ago, they knew he was into that as well. And they still let him leave the country. And they still gave him a 6 day a week work release. And then ultimately he gets out and I guess goes right back to business. Well, there's a law that says victims get to know about plea agreements. It's called the Victim Rights Act. But the feds were hiding all of this from the victims. The victims just assumed this guy was going to go away for a long time and they wouldn't have to think about it again. Then when they learned about Epstein's sweetheart deal, they said, hey, nobody told us about this. We had a right to know. So it was illegal. You have to let the victims know about the deal. They didn't. So Epstein gets brought back in, and now he's put in the New York prison years later, where he eventually kills himself. Now, I don't believe he killed himself. Jeffrey Epstein had already spent time in prison. It's not like he hadn't been through the prison system before. His lawyers were telling him, you're going to get out. You're going to beat these charges. We already have a plea agreement here. You're going to get back out. He believed he was going to get back out. Plus, he has all these rich, powerful friends, probably knows his government connections. So he probably thinks he's going to get out too. So why would he kill himself? Now, allow me to get a little conspiratorial here, but there are connections. Epstein has all the traits and all the characters of an intelligence asset. And I think whatever he was doing, whether it was laundering money, whether it was hiding money as a separate entity from intelligence agencies, because, you know, CIA, Mossad, MI6, it's not like they go do things under their own name. They use third parties and send them cash and then they operate. And, you know, sometimes you have to commit crimes. In fact, there was a story that came out. It was like 50,000 federal agents have had crimes dropped. Because it's like, yeah, you're in there. You have to prove you're with the guys, do some money laundering, whatever, some drug dealing. They drop the charges. You're like, no, I was doing this as an intelligent asset. And that includes pedophiles. So I think Epstein and Khashoggi and Brunel, who are all dead now, I think they were all running some deal. And it was likely an intelligence agency that said, we've got to bury this whole thing. We've got to cover them up. They have to die. So Khashoggi gets killed in Turkey. Brunel kills himself in a French prison. And Epstein kills himself in an American prison. And whatever these guys were doing, gone. You'll never hear from them again. How convenient. So you see, this isn't about Donald Trump. This isn't about some letter he may have written Epstein or not. This isn't about some illustration that he might have drawn and given to Epstein for his 50th birthday. This is all a distraction, folks. That is a complete distraction. This is about Jeffrey Epstein. This is about who was Jeffrey Epstein working for. This is about who was Jeffrey Epstein working with. And if you really want to figure out the sort of details of this man's life, what in the hell were they doing on that island? But that, even, you know, that's kind of like the way down the rabbit hole, what the hell was going on there. But when you talk about an Epstein list or the Epstein files, there is basic stuff that people have the right to know, I believe. And that includes all of Epstein's business partners, all of Epstein's financial transactions, all of Epstein's relations to intelligence agencies around the world. And then from there, you start to ask the other questions, like, was he blackmailing people? Was that part of his job? Was he just moving money for intelligence agencies so that they could keep their hands clean of it? Was he moving weapons around the world like Khashoggi was known to do? These are basic questions that can be asked and answered. And so if you don't want to get into the pedophilia stuff that he was into, if you don't want to get into whatever the hell was going on at the island, fine. I mean, I think probably worth noting if significant people are going there and doing God knows what, but no. The financial, the sex trafficking, who, what, where, when, and how. That's what we want. And that is not too much to ask. That is not unfair to ask. Obviously, this man was well connected. Obviously, this man was so well connected that he was able to get the most sweetheart deals you've ever seen and then somehow killed in prison and his top partners killed in prison. Except Maxwell, apparently, who's still running around. That's the Epstein story. It's not about Donald Trump, whether he's president or not. It's not about, did the Democrats put some fake thing in the files to try to set Trump up? And the PR disaster and the comms disaster that this has turned into is just beyond a nightmare. So that's the Epstein story, at least an encapsulated version of it. Clearly, this guy was running money for the most rich and powerful people in the world, and maybe even running other products or assets, as it's said. And he has all the characteristics of a multiple agent, multiple country intelligence asset. That's the Epstein file. That's the Epstein client list. That's the Epstein saga. So if Trump is trying to bury this thing because of that letter and illustration, that just makes no sense. People really don't care about that. Whether it's real or not, it doesn't even matter. No. Is this Trump trying to protect the CIA? Is this Trump trying to protect MI6? Is this Trump trying to protect Mossad? Is this Trump trying to protect the deep state? Because that's what this is. When you unravel the Epstein story, that thread brings down a massive, I wouldn't say the whole thing, but I mean, that's like a massive quadrant of how the deep state operates and how corrupt things are. That's the Epstein saga. Now, we'll get into all of the distractions and all the other headlines on the other side of this break. But don't be distracted, folks. That's the Epstein story.
Huge announcement, ladies and gentlemen. I am beyond excited about this. I've wanted this knife for a year. It's super high quality. They finally got the right supplier and a bunch of them. It's in a beautiful keepsake black box with my signature in silver lettering on the top. And when you go inside, this incredible combat battle dagger, limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger, a high-tech, super high-quality sheath with a high-tech clip under your belt or your pants. And it's got a special system where the knife doesn't come out when it's upside down. It takes a little pull to get it out. It is amazing. This is, in my opinion, the very best defense battle dagger you can get. It's an incredible price for $79.99 right now. This knife by itself in store sells for $100 every day, but we bought 5,000 of them, so got the price down really low wholesale, so we can pass that on to you, and the profit we make goes in to fund this operation. So you don't just get a great defensive system for yourself and your family, great in your car, great on your side, great in your purse, your glove compartment, also skin a buck with it, whatever you need. This is an amazing knife. You not only, though, get something to defend yourself, you defend the Republic in the information war by funding this operation. So get your limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger at thealexjonesstore.com right now, and it keeps this operation on the air. This isn't just a blade, it's a symbol of freedom. Limited edition Alex Jones signature battle dagger is forged by patriots ready to defend the Republic from the globalist agenda, featuring a double-edged black-coated blade for unmatched durability and precision. This dagger is built to last. On one side is etched my signature, while the other side proudly bears 1776, a reminder that the spirit of revolution lives on stronger than ever. With its ergonomic, non-slip grip designed ready for any mission, the dagger isn't just a tool, it's a statement. Whether you're adding it to your collection or keeping it close as a symbol of resistance and for defense, this blade is for those who know that the answer in 1984 is 1776. Get yours now. And then, we are announcing a limited sale, the Power Drive Bundle of Power Plant and Methyl Drive, which goes incredibly good with Methylene Blue. And both of these give you incredible natural energy, clarity, and focus. But you mix them together with Methylene Blue, I will tell you, in Chase Geyser's observation himself, 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Did you hear what I just said? 10 times stronger than Turbo Force. Get yours now, discounted massively, 50% off when you get them together. 50% off on the Power Drive Bundle for a limited time, 1 week, at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds this operation, 1776 worldwide. Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list, your text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution, you are the solution, you're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification, that is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match, and the InfoWar is everything, and you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Share this message right now at band.video.
Now, there's other ripples to this Epstein saga. I just did as much as I could in a 20-minute segment just so people understand the background and what this is really about. Because this isn't about Donald Trump. This isn't about some letter to Epstein. This is about Epstein, the intelligence networks, and the rich, powerful elite that he was working with. That's what this is about. That's what we want to know. Obviously, this guy was involved in shady behavior behind the most sordid of it, the sexual assault on minors. Obviously. But, oh yeah, you get that close to figuring out how things really work, they shut it down. And so that's the problem. That's why this has been such a disaster for the Trump administration. You were better off saying nothing. You were better off just going completely silent and just ghosting this. But instead, you've now made it the biggest story. And now there's so much distrust, there's so much distaste that people just can't even say, oh, why don't you follow the good news? They put up some graphic on the White House X account today, like, big wins, big wins. You just spit in our face and punched us in the stomach and shoved us overboard. You think we're just going to get over that? And because now your legacy is currently not the big wins, not the big, beautiful bill and all this stuff. Now your legacy is covering up for the deep state, covering up for the Epstein case. That's just the fact. That's not my opinion. You did that. Not us. And now it's just, you know, Trump with the shutdowns in the COVID years, it's like, okay, yeah, that's a scar on his political legacy. And then Operation Warp Speed with the vaccines, and it's like, okay, it's another scar on your political political career. It's like, all right, you can kind of move on from those scars, and you know, we can still love you. This isn't beyond a scar. This is like total mutilation. This is like total, like I can't move on from this. Now, here's some of the distractions, some of the headlines going around today. Douglas Murray, you guys remember him, right? He gets to write this post for the New York Post. Do American voters really care about Epstein? Actually, it's how many voters really care about Epstein? You're not American. You're not an American, so shut the hell up. Have you ever been to Epstein Island, Douglas Murray? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been? Boy, how about this guy? He loves to cover up criminal behavior. He loves watching people get bombed all over the Middle East by Israel. He loves watching people cover up for a giant sex trafficking, money laundering operation. And then he tells you, the American, stop caring. So the distraction piece hits yesterday. The Wall Street Journal. Now keep in mind, so you have News Corp and the Murdochs playing both sides of this now. Wall Street Journal, owned by the Murdochs. Trump's going to sue them. Says it's all a hoax. Says it's all fake. New York Post, same deal. So New York Post is over here telling you, stop with Epstein, it's nothing. And then News Corp is over here with Wall Street Journal saying, hey, look, Trump and Epstein. So is it just all part of the same PSYOP? Are they just playing both sides of it? But that's a worthy thing for you to understand that's going on. Now, look, this is why Trump made such a big mistake, saying that, you know, we're bad and weak and pathetic and all this stuff, as I said earlier, because now these stories that normally we'd probably just either let slide or not make a big thing of, now we're not going to sit here and be lied to. We're not going to sit here and be scolded. Trump claims he's never wrote a picture in his life. Folks, that is a blatant lie. It's an unreal lie. I've got 9 Trump sketches right here on my desk. 9. Now, you can scour the internet and find these. You can scour the internet, and there's other stories about Trump sketches and apparently, you know, auctioning them off and selling them for charity and all this stuff. No, Trump is actually well known for drawing skylines and skyscrapers. Manhattan skyline sketch drawn by Donald Trump sells for $29,000. Trump's drawing of a skyscraper, the Empire State Building, sells for $16,000. What do you mean you've never drawn? You've drawn. You've absolutely drawn. What are you doing? Why are you making yourself look so guilty? I wouldn't even have covered this stuff. I wouldn't even have looked into this stuff. I wouldn't even have cared. And then you come out, oh, I've never drawn before. Really? Really? Yeah, and I've never hosted a talk show before. I've never worn a gold watch before. Like, what? It's ridiculous. Now, Trump can claim plausible deniability when it comes to Epstein being a pedophile, unlike Bill Gates, who was doing work with Epstein post-charges and many others. But Trump knew he was into young girls. He told, it was the exact quote, I've known Jeff for 15 years. Terrific guy. He likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side. It's a direct quote from Donald Trump about Jeffrey Epstein, New York Magazine, 2002. So he knew he was into young girls, but hey, okay, you could consider a 20-year-old young girl. That's legal, so all right. Plausible deniability. Others don't have that. You know, it's funny, the New Yorker, did you know Epstein and Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein and Harvey Weinstein, you know they tried to buy New York Magazine? Right after that quote, by the way, did you know that? Right after that quote, Epstein and Weinstein tried to buy it. Now, they were outbid. They gave it a shot. They were outbid. Here's a story from 2016. Billionaire sex offender Jeffrey Epstein once claimed he co-founded the Clinton Foundation. And he was all over with the Clintons. Yeah. How about that? The Clinton Foundation. What is the Clinton Foundation known for, guys? Anybody know about what the Clinton Foundation is known for? Anybody know about Laura Silsby? What went on at that island? You think he was only doing it at his Florida mansion, folks? Come on. Don't be so naive. Now, this was the story in the Associated Press when he was originally charged. Jail for a financier. Yeah, well, what was he financing? Who was he financing for? Let's get the list. New York billionaire Jeffrey Epstein pleaded guilty yesterday to soliciting prostitution from underage girls in South Florida. Sentenced the 55-year-old money manager to 18 months in Palm Beach County Jail, followed by a year of house arrest. Now, I told you about the details of this slap-on-the-wrist sentence. And when the victims found out, they were irate. It was the most sweetheart deal you could ever imagine, and the co-conspirators were let off. Now, you know, maybe it's worth mentioning this, too. There were obviously a lot of victims here. And people are saying, well, the victims need to come out and speak. Well, some of them have come out and speak, and they've died. So that scares people off. But if you're a young girl, if you're 14 years old, and you're being brought over to Epstein's Florida mansion, and maybe there's some other guys there, you don't know who that is. You don't know who these men are. It's not like they can come out and say, oh, yeah, it was him. I know. They don't know. They're 14 years old. You get these teenage girls, they get flown out to the island. They're on a plane with a bunch of dudes. They don't know who they are. You say, well, why don't the victims name names? They don't know who they are. Now, they did know one thing about them. I'll get to that in a second. But you could also have bad actors that just try to jump on this and claim they're victims too and then ruin it for everybody else. So that's a whole side issue. But the strange things happening around Epstein just continue to pile up over the years. This is from 2008. Trust keeps Powerball winner a mystery. Only Lottery Commission knows who is now $29.3 million richer. Now, let's see. What was the name of the trust? Zorro Trust. Zorro Trust. Zorro Ranch. And nobody gets to know the winner. Oh. That make you a little curious? Now, this is a story that just happened. And so now they're making it all about Trump. And so I guess I get it from a certain perspective from Trump because they're trying to make it all about him, but then he makes it all about him. It's like, no, Trump, make it about Epstein. Make it about Wexner. You know, Wexner's still alive. Maxwell is still alive. The banks that were working his money accounts, you can get these records. So don't make it about you. Make it about Epstein. But then it just becomes all about Trump, and then they write these stories. I was abused by Jeffrey Epstein. Why is Trump silencing me? Danielle Bensky, who was abused by Epstein when she was a teenager, aspiring ballerina, said the decision left her feeling like she was on a first-class flight on a refurbished Lolita Express, the nickname for Epstein's private jet, because they all knew what was going on, what it was all about. I feel like the current cabinet is essentially erasing our voices after years of bravery and work to find our way out of silence. It's actually worse than silencing. It's rewriting a narrative as if none of us existed in the first place. And she goes on. So I look, there's things that I know are going to happen. Like I said this week with the health story and then the Epstein story and then the lawsuit, and it'll be Melania eventually. And then there's things I can predict, I suppose. Their victims might start getting louder. And if these media outlets are going to make it about Trump, then they're going to start reaching out to these victims, and they'll look for any statement. They don't even care as long as they can attack Trump on it. But it's just like Trump says, oh, I'm done with you. You're a weakling. You're pathetic. And then makes it all about him, how it's a hoax attacking him. You should have made it about Epstein. You should have forced Pam Bondi to do something. By the way, it's now 4:45 on the East Coast and still no grand jury unsealment from Pam Bondi. She promised it would be done this morning. So she continues to be a complete disaster. But did you know that Trump actually supported her campaign? Trump contribution to Pam Bondi's reelection draws more scrutiny to her fundraising. So they've got a long history of friendliness together. So, okay. And now they're writing all of these stories trying to protect Susie Wiles. There were two today. It's like, how does Trump keep winning? And then it's all giving credit to Susie Wiles. And then another one, Susie Wiles and Donald Trump are like John Madden and Pat Summerall in their heyday. So see, told you the message was coming out of D.C. Start putting the heat on Susie Wiles. And then, oh, here comes the Susie Wiles protection headlines. I had those stories on my desk. I can't find them now. Oh, here it is. Trump's key to the winning streak. All about Susie Wiles. Trump and Wiles are the new Madden and Summerall. I mean, look, folks. A horrible underestimation has been made here. I guess they really thought that we didn't have any influence. I guess they really thought if they could control the mainstream press and Fox News that people would just move on. Which is a crazy thing, because it was the independent press, it was the grassroots, it was the anti-establishment types that got Trump across the finish line. So I don't know who told him that he could Trump us, to put it one way. I don't know whose advice he was getting that said, hey, don't worry about them. They don't have any power. They don't have any voice. They don't have any say. I don't know if that was Wiles or someone else. Wiles, who works with Big Pharma, that did massive damage to Trump politically. Wiles, who works with Netanyahu, who's done massive damage to Trump politically, and she's still in there running the show. So maybe it was Wiles that said, oh, don't worry about them. We've got more power than them. How could you underestimate that? How could you really not see that this was going to become a full-blown disaster? You obviously knew the power of the independent media and the anti-establishment right when we rode with you in 2016. And then you went and you did all the podcasts in 2024 to get elected. You're getting horrible advice, President Trump. You need to go with your instincts. I'd fire them all. That's what I'd do. I'd fire every single one of them, and then I'd just shut it all down. I'd say, you know what? We're firing every single person here, and you know what? We're just going to go ahead and close every single agency. This whole thing, it's done. We're done. We're done. We're giving the country back to the people, like he said in his first inauguration speech. And if the Democrats altered any documents dealing with the Epstein files to put fake stuff in there, to pin it on Donald Trump, then somebody needs to investigate that and arrest them. But how many deep state arrests have there been? None. And look, I mean, I can sit here and say, okay, they killed Epstein, they killed Brunel. Maybe they're just killing this giant human trafficking network. Maybe they're just killing all these elite pedophiles. They're dealing kids to the other rich pedophiles. I mean, they've shut down the border. They've arrested hundreds of child traffickers and pedophiles. I mean, that's being done. So it's just like, if you're doing this, then come out and say it. Don't tell us to stop talking about it. Don't try to bury the Epstein thing. You got to have some honesty here. You can't tell us you're the most transparent administration in history and then try to bury one of the biggest stories of all time. So I don't want to believe Trump is involved in anything illegal. I don't think he is. But there's legitimate questions. And his recent behavior is unexplainable. So why are we covering up for Jeffrey Epstein? Why are we covering up for the CIA or MI6 or Mossad? Why? Why are we covering up for this? Why are we covering up for the billionaires that were using him to move money around? Why are we covering up for whoever was going down to the island to do God knows what? Why? Doesn't make any sense. Now, this is going to be a little offensive, but I'm just going to show you everything, folks. I'm just going to show you everything. And the more I find, what I find interesting and relevant, I'm going to show you. That's how we're going to do business here. This is Epstein victim Maria Farmer talking about her experience with Epstein and his friends. So again, if you're some young girl, you don't know who these people, you don't know who Les Wexner is. You don't know who that is. It's just another guy. So they don't know who these guys are running around. But one victim, Maria Farmer, noticed a lot of them had one thing in common here in clip two.
I wasn't allowed to go get food. And when I called Elan and asked why I couldn't eat there, she said, "It's a Jewish country club. You're not Jewish. They're not going to serve you." This is how this woman spoke to me. Yeah. This is how these people think, Whitney. They, honest to God, think their DNA is better than everybody else's. I swear to you. It was a theme all the time with them. With Eileen Guggenheim, with, Jeffrey Epstein, with Ghislaine. It was a theme. You know, Jeffrey was a lot less horrible. As far as a human being, like just being around, because she was raping just as many children.
So the country club, you weren't allowed to go because it was only for, people of a certain religion ethnicity. Okay, so yeah. That's religious. Unfortunate.
I mean, they could cut you down, and it was so morally devastating. Like, you just felt useless as a human being when you were told you're nothing because you're not Jewish, you're stupid, you're useless, a useless white girl, a poor little peasant. Just the things that I was called, I was just like, I believed it, because it was like a cult, the problem. Yeah, you wouldn't believe the way Jeffrey and Ghislaine spoke about African Americans. It was like, it made my skin crawl. Anybody who was not Jewish, and you're right about this, but the way they spoke about them, it was really horrifying. And it showed me a great deal about how these people truly believe that they're chosen to do something here. I don't know. It's unbelievable to me. I mean, and it was every one of them, the way they spoke. And one time I heard Isabel say to her mother, Eileen, "Mommy, why do you call Maria a nobody?" And she said, "Honey, Isabel, Maria is not a Jew. She is a nobody."
Well,
you can see why for about 20 years.
Well, that type of stuff I might actually include just because the Maxwell family has
you should
ties
include
to the
it.
Group
you should include it.
What's it called? Chabad Lubavitch. And group openly talks about how only Jews are human and the rest of human beings are like cattle, basically.
Now, could this have anything to do with why people like Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin and others are telling you to just move on? Now, let's be perfectly clear about something here. I also happened to work at a Jewish country club when I was, I believe, 20 or 21. I was a assistant manager for the pool for 2 years. Some of the nicest people I've ever met. And I could go golfing on their golf course, and I can go hang out at the pool, hung out with all of them. And most of the staff was also not Jewish. So just to be clear here, I don't believe that about Jewish people. Okay? My experience with Jewish people has been great. But let's recognize something. If there is a group of fanatical Jewish supremacists that believe you are lesser, that they can just rape you and treat you like a slave, then maybe that explains some of the stuff that Epstein was doing. Maybe that explains why Israel opens its doors to American Jews that get caught with pedophilia. And they say, come on home. Maybe that's why other people are telling you to move on from this so vehemently. Mark Levin at it again today, telling you to move on, saying nobody cares. And then it's completely hyperbolic when he's saying, oh, the people that keep talking about Epstein have no influence. Really, Mark, because you're still talking about it. Really, Mark, because you're still panicked about it. Really, Mark, because the White House is having to address it and ask questions about it every single day. Really, Mark, because Pam Bondi was supposed to go unseal grand jury testimony in Florida. So I guess we do have the impact, don't we? So I told you, folks, anything I find here, I'm going to share with you. My loyalty is to the truth. And I'm going to make sure your 3 hours that you tune in here are always going to be worth it. By the way, this was J.D. Vance, just for a little added bonus before we close out the hour. J.D. Vance, September 2021. Remember when we learned that our wealthiest and most powerful people were connected to a guy who ran a literal child sex trafficking ring? And then that guy died mysteriously in jail? And now we just don't talk about it? I remember J.D., except now we are talking about it, and people don't like that.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because that people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action. Now, the best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.